In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Much like meekness last week, I think sometimes we hear the word righteous or righteousness and we get a little turned off by it. Where when we hear meek or find ourselves described as meek, the connotation there is of weakness, of being subservient, of being usable, of being not able to stand up for ourselves. Righteousness sometimes goes the opposite way. And so when we hear someone describe someone else or ourselves as being self-righteous, we get turned off by that. That is a huge, at least for me it is, it's one of the, ugh. So, our good friends, Merriam-Webster, define righteousness as the act of striving toward being justified morally. To morally be in the right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we put on that self-righteous thing and we think it's righteousness, what happens? We think we're right. And worse than thinking we are right, we are unwilling or maybe even unable to hear someone saying, "But you're not." To the point of not being able to hear someone else's point of view. In Bible talk, in theological terms, righteousness is described in three different kinds of righteousness. One, there's the righteousness of the law. This is what the law says. This is what the law means. That's what you do. Which when Paul was writing to the Romans, that's what Israel knew. They had the law, they followed the law, they thought they were righteous, and they were, you didn't follow the law, you're wrong. So when Paul says to the Romans, he says, so what are we going to say? Gentiles who were not striving for righteousness achieved righteousness. Gentiles, non-Jewish people, Gentile Christians are those who became Christians but were not Jewish to begin with, right? Gentiles were not striving for righteousness. They were not trying to follow the laws that were not theirs. And yet they achieved righteousness. The righteousness that comes from faith. And that's where you get the other two descriptors of righteousness when you're talking in churchy language. Because righteousness, yes, is to follow the law, but righteousness is also to, if you will, follow the law of the heart. Righteousness is to remember that God reigns supreme. Righteousness is to, yes, hold on to the moral high ground, but only as far as God will allow. To understand that you need the faith and you need God. Notice a theme here through the rest of the B Beatitudes, you need God. You need God because why? You're poor in spirit. And when you're poor in spirit, you realize you rely on him fully. You need God. Why? Because you are mourning the things that have kept you away from him. And only he can give you the comfort that you so desire. When you're meek, you need God. Why? Because when you're taking the focus off of yourself, you're putting it back on God. And you're willing to say, I am nothing without the big guy. So too follows righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does righteousness look like today? It looks like seeing the injustice in the world and doing something about it. Doing something more than standing there and saying, well, that's just not right. Righteousness today looks like hunger in Gratiot County and a post office food drive that results in us having so much food, we have it overflowing over here on the chancel because it won't fit on the shelves. That's righteousness. Righteousness is seeing some kind of injustice and not only naming it for what it is, but walking the walk. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who have those pains that say, I can't go one more day without the peanut butter sandwich of doing something right. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is that I desperately need to drink from the cup of doing something for my brother. Doing something for my sister. Doing something for the neighbor that I don't know what their name is. On Memorial Day weekend, when for so many people it becomes the weekend where we uncover the pool, we pull out the grill, we hit up the sale at Meijer or Rick's, for some hunk of meat to put on the grill. We gather together for parades and parties. And some of us are going, yay, four-day weekend. For my money, Memorial Day is when we sit back and remember that whole list in the back of your bulletin, and so many others who are not on it. Who what? Stood up for something that was bigger than them. Who answered a call to something bigger than them. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, it builds onto realizing we are nothing without God. It builds on to owning our being poor in spirit. It builds on to mourning the things, truly mourning the things that keep us away from right relationship with God. It adds on to being meek and not being so self-centered that I can't manage to say, own up to my own offenses. It adds on to, it's not what I think is right, it's what God holds is right. It's not what I think is just. It's not what society thinks is just. It's what God thinks is just. What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Righteousness, biblically, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, is putting somebody else before you. To be willing to stop long enough to listen to the other side of the story. To be willing to put God first, and through God, your neighbor. Maybe, just maybe, righteousness and striving for righteousness and hungering for righteousness is the thing that gets us off our couch or our lazy boy after we've read the paper, after we've watched the news, after we've had a conversation about what's going on. We have not only the greatest gift in the resurrection of Christ and all that comes with that, it comes with responsibility. It comes with that driving force, right? If you're sitting as a, and you call yourself, and this is not just you all, but in general, if you sit and call yourself a Christian, there needs to be a driving force behind it. Elsewise, the conversation changes, at least between pastor and congregation, about our faith becoming stagnant. And I will tell you something right now, we would not be coming up on 150 years of faithful Presbyterianism in this community if we had stagnant faith. The whole point is it drives you to grow. And being righteous, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, not necessarily the following the law like the people of Israel were really good at doing. Because let's face it, Jesus was not talking about following the letter of the law. Except for to love your neighbor as yourself. Second only, and right next to, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So by all means, pull out the Weber. By all means, uncover the pool and get it cleaned up and ready to go because hot summer days are coming. By all means, gather together as friends and family and community. But don't rest on that. Don't get complacent with that. We're called to higher things. We're called to speak out. Our faith demands it of us. Amen.